coming up a little bit later in the summer, July 8th, over at the Old Rock House. I will be hosting this year's 4th annual Rock Paper Podcast birthday show. And I'm really pumped for this event. This is a big deal for me. These are always a lot of fun. And this year I've invited along my friends the Scandaleros, Old Souls Revival, the Sophisticated Babies, Matthias and the Pirates, and the Many Colored Death. And we're going to have a really great time over there at the Old Rock House. Tickets are $10 for that event. And it's kid-friendly. Come on out. Bring the whole family. Have a great time. It's going to be a Sunday, fun day kind of event. We're going to start about 1 and music at 2. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And I can't wait to see you all there. All those details for both events can be found on rockpaperpodcast.com. And, of course, events on the Facebook page. Click RSVP. I hope to see you all there. Thanks, everybody.
What is up? This is James with the Cerebral Entertainment Podcast, and I am here to tell you about an event that is going to blow some socks off, and I hope some of those socks are yours. And that is the Send Up on Shaw, June 2nd at Gaslight Lounge, located at 4916 Shaw Avenue in St. Louis, Missouri. There will be live comedy, there will be live music, and of course, there will be live podcasting. The exciting thing for the CEP is that we will indeed be podcasting at this extravaganza of awesomeness. Tickets are $27.03 via Eventbrite for this festival happening both inside and outside of the Gaslight Lounge, and the lineup for all the performers is going to flip your jibs. I wouldn't lie to you folks, but go check out the Send Up on Shaw Facebook event page and see for yourself. You shan't be disappointed, I promise. June 2nd, from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., the Send Up on Shaw Festival at Gaslight Lounge. Can't wait to see you there, and keep your eyes peeled for
the Cerebral Entertainment Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. Find them over there in the Dot Zack building in the St. Louis area. Or you can shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. They'll have new records in every Friday. I just had a great time hanging out with those guys for Record Store Day. I'm sure you can swing by and still pick up a couple of leftovers from that. You can also follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All kinds of records and tickets given away throughout the day over there. And be sure to check out the exclusive meet and greets and record signings they've been doing. So everything's at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Rob Durham, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast. Check me out at robdurhamcomedy.com.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with Rob Durham.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
This is cool. We're back here a returning guest back here at your home and
in my basement bar, El Toro.
Oh, that's the name?
That's the name of it, yes.
Where'd that come from?
Durham, like the Durham Bulls. Okay. I have a bull tattoo on my leg, so we went with that. We go to Mexico and we like that stuff, so that's as creative as we got means. The bull. If you didn't know, it means right. The bull. Very fluent.
The Nino. Yeah. But yeah, man, we got a brand new book. We got a big date coming up here at the Funny Bone. So a lot of things happening for Rob Durham coming up. So let's. You want to start with the book?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, man. Around the Block is now available in your digital forms and paperback.
Yes.
And that's available at robdurhamcomedy.com. You can head over there and purchase a copy. Or Amazon, or
if you want Amazon to get all the money, go ahead and go through them. But if you want me to do it and autographed, I will happily get that from robdurhamcomedy.com.
Man, yeah. So this is your Fourth book,
yes. This is the one I can actually market to my students. That's the genius behind it, is I'm selling merch like it's after a comedy show during my class time. And these kids are buying. The kids are buying. It's great. I had a girl yesterday that just finished it, and she accidentally cussed in front of me when describing how surprised she was at the ending. And two other kids hung around after class, like, can we get it too? And I was like, yes, this is perfect. It was fun to see them actually reading. That was kind of one of the points of it. It's a book for boys who don't typically read, so teenage boys. But then girls are enjoying it too, and adults are getting a different angle from it. I've heard four different, you know, vibes from it. Mm-hmm. So anywhere from it's really dark to it's super funny to, you know, people think it's based on my life, which it kind of is, but just a little bit. So
yeah,
it's interesting to hear the feedback after all the hard work I put into it.
Yeah, this I think we were just kind of touched on it there a little bit off mic, but we kind of introed this a little bit on the last yes. appearance. We kind of you were just getting the ball started on mm-hmm. on this process, and so you know, you can tell that definitely a lot of hard work put in, because this has already been
Revision process was pretty much all of 2017 was a revision process. I actually wrote the seventh draft on this bar standing up, handwriting it. And then the eighth draft was typing that into the computer. So I did this weird program I bought online called How to Revise Your Novel. And it just really was educational on how to actually write a book. So yeah, probably some things I should have done on the previous books.
Yep, we're kind of talking about that a little bit, like even with everything else, but like it all kind of takes time, as you know. Obviously, you feel like you're ready and you throw something out there, and then you look back on it, you know, now you're like saying you're putting out your fourth book, you're looking back at the beginning, you're like, yeah, man, I wish I would have learned all this stuff then and had all this information. But
yeah, the first book was so much easy. Nonfiction is pretty easy. That was just question and answer. So for Don't Wear Shorts on Stage, look at my subtle plug there. Also available on all those resources. that was just kind of sit down, write, you know, more editing than revising, just making sure my sentences sounded good. But with this, you got to worry about plot holes and characters and themes and all that other fun stuff. So I did a lot of reading on how to actually write a novel. So after every draft, you kind of have to let it breathe. So I learned to just read and get better at it mm-hmm. before I went to the next draft.
Yeah, man. So what can you tell us about Around the Block?
It is based on a boy from a small town who likes to run. So it's pretty... That part's pretty autobiographical. And how can I say this nicely? There was a girl in high school that had a crush on me for quite a while, and she was unique. And so I took that aspect, and that was kind of the inspiration to write this. I was telling my high school kids about this a couple years ago, and they that should be your next book. I was like, all right, let me see what I can find. And kind of all those small town-isms fit into that. So, you know, the setting is definitely very familiar with the people from my hometown. They're like, oh yeah, this is definitely, like, it talks in the first paragraph about you can tell which way the wind is blowing by what kind of manure you smell.
Right.
There was turkey. If it blew north, it was, if the wind blew west, it was pig, and everything else was cow manure. So, but anyways, yeah, this girl had a crush on me for quite a while, and it almost became kind of a running joke at school. By my senior year, that's all anyone really talked to me about. I was a pretty quiet kid, so if girls talked to me, that's what they would bring up. So I took that aspect and, you know, fictionalized it, and I threw in another character, a love interest for my protagonist, Mark, in this book. And it's not the stereotypical homecoming queen. It's the 6'1 blonde softball player. You know, that girl that hits puberty at like 9 and is just way above everyone else. I took that character and made her kind of have a love interest for my protagonist, to kind of juxtapose his inexperience with her. She parties with college guys. So, and then on top of that, he still has the girl that's in love with him too. So that kind of weird combination, not really a love triangle, but it made for a fun story.
Yeah. Did you, we kind of talked a little bit about growing up in Ohio, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that kind of did you draw from a lot of that kind of small town?
Yes. Yeah, just the things that happen there, how you have to go to a different town just to, you know, go to a mall or something like that. And, you know, everything closes really early. It's like 9 o'clock, everything's closed, and you can't, you know, can't really do anything at night. So people, for some reason, you know, kids at our high school would go and drink at the high school, like in the back parking lot, and get caught. And I never understood that.
Yeah.
So
in my town, I grew up in Wentzville, and there was always the gas station. They always hung around this mobile and like sat there drinking in the parking lot and stuff. And in Troy, I think it was the Walmart. I think they would all hang out there. So it's like,
yeah. Yeah, there is a gas station scene in there that actually leads to, you know, some of my best friends. I kind of smushed them together and made them the sidekick in this book. And one of them kind of did a really, it's funny now, but kind of a cruel prank on me involving the girl that was madly in love with me. I don't know if that's the right, yeah. Or they actually let her in the car while I was in the back seat. My buddy and his girlfriend were driving, and she had just gotten a new car, so I'm in the back seat. We're just riding around town, and they pick up this girl, and I'm in the back seat with her, and yeah, that was awkward. So I fit that scene into the book. It's it's pretty amusing. My buddy got a kick out of that I was able to put that in there.
Right. You what's that just came up in the news, or at least Facebook news? There was a woman that sent like 65,000 text messages in like one day or whatever, after one date, I believe it was, or something.
I'm so glad texting was not a thing when I was dating back then, because I was more of a writer. I left a couple creepy letters, I'm sure, to girls, or emails when theirs first came out, but thank goodness I could not communicate with them, because I was a lot more fearless when I was writing than actually saying stuff. So
yeah.
Oh, maybe I would have actually done a lot better now that I think about it.
Yeah,
I was pretty shy back then.
Well, I just think, like, you know, it's just funny that that story is in the news, and then like this, yours is kind of a, not exactly,
yeah,
but it's in that kind of vein of having
I mean, I kind of, my original title had to do with stalking, and as I got feedback, people were like, that's not stalking in your book, that's, you know, don't you, you know, don't, how dare you mock that term? Like, oh, I didn't know I had to be PC with the term stalking, but I did, and I learned something. So, yeah, that was kind of made me change the title. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're having trouble finding a title for what you've written, just go to a similar genre and get the rhythm of the titles from it. I just went to Amazon Young Adult and just kind of skimmed through titles, and then I got the beats, and then Around the Block. I was like, oh. I explained it to my students, and a lot of them didn't know what that meant, but some of them did, so it's enough just to be like, oh, is this about sex? Yeah, kids, read about it. So
you said you shared the story and stuff with the kids, and like, is that dialogue, you know, come up a lot, like just between you and the students, and like where they can throwing out, you know, ideas like, hey, that could be the book. I mean, is that
well, when I wrote the first draft, I would post a chapter on the blog, and I had these two boys that were Justin and Jack. They were very they were hooked on it, like it was like a serial novel to them, and so they'd read the new chapter and see me in class the next day and give me feedback on it. And you know, the one kid, even until he goes, Mr. Durham, I don't read a lot of books, but I really enjoyed reading this one. Yeah. So I knew I had something then. And I could get, if you can get teenage boys to read anything.
Right.
No offense, guys, but, you know. I was the same way.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, there was a couple of books, like, that I can still recall. Like, I think there was a book called, like, Slam or something. I was real big into basketball growing up. And,
yeah.
And it was a book regarding basketball. Yeah. So it was something I couldn't really connect to and stuff at the time. But like, other than that, like, I don't, you know, I was, when you get into high school and you have to read like Great Gatsby and stuff like that, or what, like, it's nothing really did it for me with those books. And,
well, the young adult fiction back then was terrible. It wasn't until, well, I read The Absolute True Diary of a Part-Time Indian by Sherman Alexie. I read that for a college class for my teaching certificate, and I was like, well, this, yes, I would have read this as a kid. They came out in, I want to think, say 2005 or 6 or so. And so it's a lot better. They're a lot racier. I can't believe the stuff that's in our school library. It is, I don't want to say filthy, but it's, you know, wow. I would have read that back then.
So. Yeah. So now, like I said, Around the Block is available everywhere. Is there, have you started thinking about the next thing?
Yeah. Well, I kind of pigeonholed a sequel to it. I'm going to let it breathe and, you know, before I need to let those characters rest. This summer, I'm just going to kind of write a novel for fun. It's called... I don't know if this is cheesy or not. I'll get your opinion. It's based off of Pearl Jam's Black. The lyric, Somebody Else's Sky will be the title. At the very end, he says, I know someday you'll have a beautiful life. I know you'll be the sun in somebody else's sky. So I was like, oh, that's a good title. So it's about a 26-year-old who's been with the same girl for 7 years. And in the opening scene, she breaks up with him and moves out because he has not proposed to her. Her birthday's gone by, Christmas has gone by, and this is New Year's Eve, technically New Year's Day at 2 in the morning, and she leaves him then. And so he has to, you know, she has more money, and they work at the same bank in different departments. And so he has to find a replacement roommate. So he talks to this guy about it. And the guy's like, yeah, I can do that. But the guy's like, actually, it's for my friend. And instead, a very attractive 20-year-old girl moves in with him. So that makes it interesting.
Yeah,
so,
right.
yeah, this one is less autobiographical. Yeah, well, it's... I'm deciding how true I want to make it show.
Yeah. I mean, that's... I'm a big fan of singer-songwriters and just, like, you know, your storytelling and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, those guys, sometimes they put stories of their that are, yeah. you know, biographical, like you're saying. I'm like, and they... But it's just kind of fun to hear some of that. And, like, these are just great stories regardless mm-hmm. and stuff. But, like, it is kind of cool to know, like, there's parts of that are real, you know, like, among there, even though you tweak it and you change it.
Yeah. Yeah, I love alluding to other things. And yeah. That was one of my favorite parts about the finishing touches on Around the Block is I got to use my favorite band, Modest Mouse, for an epigram.
There you go.
And I used the opening lines of Guilty Cocker Spaniels, which is off of an 09 EP. But it's, I took off running at the greatest speed. I didn't bother looking to either side of me. I just didn't see what was really going on. And that perfectly sums up... kind of my protagonist's point of view in that. So, as dorky as this is, I'm going to see my 7th Modest Mouse concert in Springfield this October. And last time when they were in St. Louis last year, I hung out afterwards and got to meet Isaac Brock, the lead singer, and got my picture with him. And I may try and give him a book. I'll be a 41-year-old man that might be like, look, Isaac, look, I put you in my book, and you're the epigram, and I signed it for you, and please read it, and you know, we can hang out. So,
right.
I don't know. We'll see if I chicken out or not, but there's a good chance I'll probably do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine like they get a lot of books.
Am I? Right. You know, I'm guessing they get. Yeah. I can tell you they get zero
right.
books.
You know, they get. I'm sure they get people trying to give them demos and different stuff like
yeah.
that. But like,
well, some kid showed him artwork last time, and he gave the kid his real email address. So,
yeah,
yeah.
That is. I met Gary Clark Jr. Mm-hmm. out back behind the pageant. One night after his show there, and like he sat there and signing everything and was just like hanging out talking to everybody.
Yeah.
Like somebody was on the phone and like, hey, will you say hi to my sister or whatever. So he's like, hey, what's up? This is Gary Clark. And like,
yeah.
you know, and it was just like such a cool moment, like that he was just so down to earth and like didn't care about any of that stuff and like,
yeah.
you know, whatever he signed, whatever, and took pictures of everybody and stuff. And it's just like, it's really cool to have that moment, like, even, you know, like,
yeah, I wish I was famous so I could do that for people. Like, will you leave my outgoing voicemail?
Right.
I got to work with Bob Saget once, and he probably did that for 10 different people.
Yeah,
like that was, I don't know, that was a big thing back then. But I mean, it's always cool when people want to get pictures after shows and stuff too. So
yeah, man. So yeah, that'd be great to slide him a copy and
yeah.
Be, I mean, you know,
hopefully, like I said, hopefully he reads it. And,
I don't know, like, do I have to bring it into the concert? Or I guess I can run to my car afterwards before I get in line.
There you
okay,
go.
I'll do that. I can't bring a book into the concert. They'll be like, sir, this is illegal. You're too big of a dork.
Too big a dork to get in here.
No knives or books are allowed.
Yeah, have to change the rules. Well, you, like I said, you do have a big show coming up. We got a couple things. Let's go in order here. We got Saturday, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, if you're day one of this,
yeah.
May 19th,
you can come out and you can see Rob doing a live signing at 6 North Cafe.
It's in Baldwin there. The Baldwin location.
And you have copies of the book?
I'm probably going to have all four of my books there. I don't know. There's two I don't want students to see, but yeah, they'll be out there. I need money. come by, get a coffee and a sandwich, and I will sign a book and give you free tickets to my shows, which are May 30th through June 3rd.
Hey.
So many plugs.
Yeah. That's your like big teacher appreciation week.
Teacher appreciation week, which was technically last week for the rest of the world, but us teachers can't go out on weeknights during the school year, so the year's over. So Wednesday through Sunday, come to a show and hear me vent about kids.
you talked in your first appearance on the show. You mentioned some stuff about one of your principals coming out to the show, and then he brought his dad, and then and some of your former students came out. And stuff.
Yeah,
have you run into some more situations like that?
There was two boys that I was I had as they were in my sophomore class, and they graduated this year, and they just hang in my room and tell me way too much information. I don't want to say I'm a father figure to them. That's not the right thing. I would say mentor, but they don't listen to my advice. But it's kind of fun. I guess I'm getting material for books from them just to see what they're like. And yeah, they do occasionally need advice on things, which they promptly ignore. But they came out and they brought some dates out when I had a really good show a few months ago. So that was neat. It's like, they're like, you actually know what you're doing. Yes, this is my real job. The teaching's where I'm faking it. So,
yeah,
I don't mind.
There you go.
It's, I say enough things I shouldn't at school, so they might as well get the full thing there.
That weekend or that whole week will be free for teachers.
Yeah, just bring your school ID or just tell them you're a teacher and you forgot it at home, and they'll let you in.
Yeah,
they'll let you in.
And everybody else, you gotta pay. But
yeah, well, I'm sending tickets out to people, and just email me.
Yeah,
I can get you on the list.
There you go. You know some people.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of drinking.
Who else is going to be with you that weekend?
Kevin Patterson, whose wife is a teacher, so he's got some teacher jokes as well. We do that without stepping on each other, and I don't believe we have named an MC for that yet.
Yeah.
So I gotta talk and see. It'd be a good fit because it is. I would say it's a clean show, but it's. Teachers are pretty PC, as I learned. I did it this night 2 years ago, and they tighten up on anything super edgy. So I've tweaked some things, and so I got to figure out who can be a nice clean opener.
There you go. Yeah, I haven't seen Kevin in a while, but he's great.
Yeah,
he's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, we did a one-nighter a few months ago with some Valentine's show or something. We had a good time.
Yeah. You you also have another. You said you're going to Hannibal on May 19th as well. So that night, another one nighter kind of thing. You're
doing,
at Finn's Food and Spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody in the Hannibal area is listening, come out Saturday night and have an evening out there at Finn's with Rob.
I feel wrong trying to sell books in Mark Twain's hometown.
Yeah,
that seems a bit blasphemous. And perhaps they won't buy any, and then I won't feel guilty, but that is weird.
Yeah. I mean, that guy, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he did all right.
He did some things.
He sold a few copies.
Yeah. It is, that is something kind of weird to think about.
Yeah.
Going up visiting Hannibal.
Yeah. That's always fun up there. I've done a few up that way, and Yeah, I think I was just there in 2009. So
yeah, I mean, yeah. People, backed by popular demand.
Yes.
People have been asking for it. Like,
please, within the next day, I'm kind of the, I'm the Chinese democracy of comedy in Hannibal.
Yeah, man. That, you, like I said, so May 30th and through June 3rd at Westport Funny Bone, you can message Rob for some tickets, or tell all your teacher friends to come on out.
Oh, and make reservations, because teachers drink. We don't need two servers when we actually need six. So mm-hmm. Patty will kill me if there's not enough people on staff.
Oh, yeah. It's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to make Patty mad.
No.
And then, so we got the paperback. Is there any plans to do a hardback or anything?
Nope. No? No, it's... No, it wouldn't be cost efficient to do it. I think I could, but it's, you know, it's a 200-page book.
What's the difference in that? Like, I mean, I know besides cost, but like, you know, it seems like people make a big deal about the paperback and or the hard copy version.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like having a CD versus just the digital copy of something. Maybe it's just that slightly better aesthetic. I mean, I'd like
or the vinyl copy.
Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah, I'd like to eventually do that. Well, I'd like to get published, but I don't have the patience to wait for a publisher. And I probably still have a few books that I can self-publish before I have a really good idea for one when I feel like I'm good enough to get published. So that's I already have three books to write now.
Is that something you can like? Like submit to somebody, you know, a publisher or something?
You have to go through a literary agent.
Yeah.
And you have to write a perfect query letter. And so I tried that. I went to workshops. I read books on it. And it's just a short letter, three paragraphs, where you hook them in the first paragraph, kind of give a summary without giving away the ending in the second, and then tell them briefly about yourself and your credentials in the third. And you can go to websites like agentquery.com. And I think that's where you can find who to send it to. And then there's Query Shark and all these feedback things, because you got to get it perfect. And so I put my query letter on there, and the people were, I mean, they were meaner than comics on the feedback. Like, I thought, you know, comics are mean. No. I was, like, ready to cry. They're like, this is stupid. So it's just rhetorical snark. It's like, why are you doing this? So... yeah, that didn't work out well. I did send some query letters out, but I got rejected on four of them, and then I didn't hear back from the other six. And I was just like, you know what? Just self-publish it.
All right.
You know, maybe I'm not ready to publish, or I just, like I said, I want to be able to sell them after my shows. And mm-hmm. to get published usually takes a year, year and a half. And I was like, no, I need results now.
Right. Is that, I mean, I don't know. I'm like, you know, I have no idea about that whole process. So, like, it's, you know, even writing a book or whatever, you know, it's like, it's, so that's interesting to me to learn some of this stuff through you and stuff.
Yeah, publishing, you got to look at it as being the equivalent of a headliner in comedy. And that took me 10, 12 years to get to that part. So I've been writing books since 2011. So I still have, like I said, a few more books, I think. Not saying these are bad. You should buy them, definitely. But
at robdurhamcomedy.com.
But, yeah, it's... I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a goal, but it's not my life.
Sure. I mean, I so when you're describing that to me, like, I imagine, like I said, again, I'm a giant music fan, so everything kind of goes back to music for me. But, like, you know, I have friends that are in local music, and they make great music. They're not on a record label or anything like that. So, like, it doesn't take away from the fact that it's not good enough to be on a label. It just has...
I mean, it's fun. The art process is really fun with it. And it was so refreshing after, you know, years of just doing comedy to actually have a different outlet for creativity rather than writing jokes. So, I don't know. I became a pretty avid reader once I started teaching English. Go figure. So.
Yeah. I got a buddy, Phil. He's also a teacher, and he writes these little posts on Facebook and of dialogue between him and some of his students, and it's one of my favorite things throughout the day when I see something that he writes on there, just because like
yeah.
it the stuff that they say, and then his response or just crack me up. But like, you know, he does give these kids a lot of advice and a lot of you know, and it's you can tell he's built a great relationship with a lot of them. Like yeah. where like, you know, even especially now here at the end of the year, like how many kids are like, you know, thanking him for different whatever,
yeah.
you know, like for different stuff to make that kind of an impact on these kids and stuff. Like,
yeah, it is nice to. I got a card today from a senior, and yeah, every once in a while they'll get me something at the end of the year, just a few. But it's, I have a big folder of keepsakes for when I have really rough days. I just kind of go through that and remind myself that it's not always awful.
Right. So. Yeah. Sometimes you need a little reminders.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually the teachers and the kids, we start to get sick of each other early April, right after spring break, because they're ready to be done.
Sure.
And we still have more stuff to do.
Well, you got map testing comes in there. And
yeah,
stuff too.
Yeah, and then I coach golf, and it's pretty hectic to finish out the year. So today I told him 2 days ago, I've run out of stuff to teach you. We're watching movies. Here's your study guide for the final. If you have any questions on it, Google it or come see me in the morning.
Yeah. What movies you guys watch?
Stranger Than Fiction in 3 of them. That's that Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah.
And then the other class voted for American Dreams with Mandy Moore and Hugh Grant. It's a satire about American Idol. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, well, they wanted to watch Goonies, but my disc is missing. So they were pretty disappointed when they voted for Goonies and I opened the box and it was gone. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
I have a VHS copy if you.
Oh, we did not have the equipment for that.
That was always the best day, though, man, when you're in school,
yeah.
when they bring in the TV cart and
those old TVs. We'd sit there on the floor and enjoy it. Now they're trying to sneak their phones in, or can I go to the bathroom, or they're taking a nap. I'm like, you begged all year to watch a movie. I'm finally put a movie in, and you aren't even watching it.
Kids.
Next week this time, I'll be done. Well, I have to go in Friday morning and check out, but that's all.
Right.
Dear God, it's so close.
Yeah, it's the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
What's funny is I do custodial work for the school, so I would completely relate to connect. You know, everything you're saying about the teachers, they're, you know, I hear a lot of it and stuff. And,
yeah.
And it's funny to me how many like not always the teachers, but like parents or somebody. You know, they're like, hey, so what do you guys do all summer? And I'm just like. Work, you
yeah.
know, like somebody's got to clean this place up.
Yeah, like, yeah, they take everything out of each yeah. classroom and
right.
redo the floors and everything. Yeah,
they
definitely.
They all think we just
yeah.
walk out.
No, that's probably even harder in the summer.
Oh yeah, well, that's. Yeah. I mean, I joke about it a lot, like that it's like 2 months of work for like 9 months vacation at the school.
Yeah.
Like, cause, I mean, the daily stuff. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of work still, but like. That's pretty easy compared
yeah.
to the 2 months summertime when we're trying to,
yeah.
you know, hustle and get it all done.
Yeah, I'd imagine during the school year it's just in smaller annoying things. I went off on a kid who threw a banana into a wall. I don't know who the kid was, but his friends called him out on it, and I made him clean it up, and then I went around the corner, and there was still a mess, and I looked at his friend. I was like, I'm not wrong for being completely upset about this, right? And they're like, no. So every time I walk by, I'm like, yeah, banana boy. So I'll probably have him next year. But what yeah. you know, I'm sure my friends did the same things, but
sure.
I don't know. As an adult, you realize somebody has to clean that up. So, oh, these darn kids! Man, right. I'm old. I am old.
Yeah, I always find it. So, like, I work in the elementary level, so it's a little different, obviously. But I find it always ironic. Like, there'll be signs, like, you know, not to litter, pick up your trash, and all these different, you know,
yeah.
teaching them different. Things and then all of a sudden, like they get in the cafeteria and it's okay to completely
yeah.
forget about all that stuff.
Well, they don't. Signs are invisible. We have our printer in our computer room. The printer prints out two sides, and that freaks the kids out. So 2 years ago, I put a sign up that says the printer will print on both sides of the paper. Your teacher is okay with that, and they still ask, "Is this okay?" That look at the sign, stupid. So,
Yeah. What's the like the funniest moment you can recall like teaching and stuff? Like, is there certain incident?
Well, something happened that I stuck on my wall this year. I handed out the books for 1984, And I sent these little sheets of paper home with the kids that said, you know, ask their parents, what do they know? What have they heard about the book 1984? Whether they've read it or not. And says, what do you know about 1984? And this girl brought it back and it said that it was Van Halen's best album.
That's a true story.
And yeah, it's still hanging on my wall. I think I put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was... She knew. She's like, yeah, my parents said they felt dumb, so they just made a joke about it. It's like, all right, as long as they knew it was a joke.
Right.
Boy, we have some crazy stuff that, you know, sometimes there'll be intentional, dirty innuendos that come out or something like that, and we all get a good giggle, and, you know, I'm 12, so I laugh too. But, yeah, some of the Shakespeare stuff, it's pretty easy to see through the metaphors on.
You're right.
Yeah, I don't know. I got in a roasting battle with a kid a little bit and made probably some jokes I shouldn't have said, but then they bring up teacher salary, and I'm like, all right, it's even then. You're a jerk.
Yeah. I remember I had a history teacher, and he would, it always helped that he, like, put different things. Like, he would always, like, come up with, like, song parody kind of things or something like that. Like,
oh, yeah.
And I remember one of them, like, I mean, I forget it now, but I remember it had to do with Beastie Boys, like, it was, you know, Fight for Your Right for Freedom and stuff.
Oh,
like,
nice.
He put that in there and stuff. And, and so, like, for me as an audio learner, like,
yeah.
I always, that, when you go to,
oh, yeah.
You go to do the test, and all of a sudden that rhymes start coming back to you.
Yeah, I reference songs they don't know all day. The other day, one of the vocab words was dutiful. And I was like, wasn't that a James Blunt song? They're like, what? I go, you're dutiful. And like three kids knew what I was talking about and laughed, and the rest of them were just lost. Or when I was showing them Ezra Pound, and he writes very short poems. And they're like, I could do this. I go, you think you're better? I'm like, yeah. So you think you're better than Ezra? And maybe one kid all day got it.
Right.
I set him up first. So I have these jokes that I've built into the lessons that, you know, they probably think my stand-up is that corny. But... whatever.
Yeah.
They don't get to stand up when I do it for them half the time. We do stand up in creative writing. My seniors do it last Friday. And this year's batch was... the important thing is they tried. I usually one or two kids does excessively well, but this senioritis batch... I had one girl that won. I actually reference her in my act, Jorah, the smart girl. She memorized a whole spiel, and so she won a copy of my book. That's the prize they get. What motivation, yeah. Right? That's what everyone's getting for graduation presents from now until the end.
Yep. I'm sure, you know, Christmas time comes around or whatever. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves a good Rob Durham book under the tree.
Oh, yeah. Oh, conferences. I'm going to push this thing. So your kid doesn't read, huh? Well, have you tried to... I have two classes of freshmen next year, too. And so I could make kids cry. I had a 16-year-old boy cry in my class the other day. I had an 18-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy cry this year. So
yeah.
Proud of that.
Yeah.
I cried in high school, too. That's kind of in the book, I think. Oh, geez.
Yep. I'm excited, man. I only you sent me a copy, and I got through the first two chapters. It's been a crazy week, like I was telling you about, but I do plan to finish it and find out. Especially you said that the ending is so shocking.
There are three or four twists at the end, and then with young adult, I wanted to, as they say, drop the mic on the very end, and I think this does a good job of that. I had kids that one girl like threw the book. She's like, "Oh my god!" and just went crazy on it. So, yeah, it's a quick read. Most of them, I've had a few students read it in one day too, so that always feels good. So,
yeah,
very check nice. It out.
Yeah, I that kind of reminds me of the Avengers. Did you watch the new one?
I have not.
Or not Civil War. Infinity War?
Infinity War. I have not.
Well, then I won't talk about
it. I think it's already been spoiled, but don't say anything because, yeah.
But it was, that was a one that was like, the ending was, had everybody, you know, jaws drop kind of stuff, and it was pretty wild, man.
Hmm.
So,
I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's a good one. I don't know if you follow any of those, though, but
certain ones. But I, yeah,
it was a lot of fun. Just the fact that all of them, all this, you know, every one of the Avengers are in all these Guardians and everything else. They were all in the one movie together. So
it's kind of like a hip hop concert. All the guys just come together and featuring.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, there is a big '90s hip hop show coming to town. I don't know if you've seen this, Bill, but it's Vanilla Ice, okay. Tone Loke, Rob Bass, Naughty by Nature.
Not because I hate you. Yeah, that would be worth it alone, just Naughty by Nature.
Yeah. It is,
Tretch is great.
I was like, I think they had, like for the first like week or whatever of sale, it was like lawn seats were $10, and I was like, I'll pay $10 just to see Vanilla Ice do Ice Ice Baby like that.
Gosh, that's gonna be silly. Yeah,
that alone would be.
I'll pay him not to do any other songs. Right. He's got that Stop That Train.
Yeah,
I forget the others, but yeah, we're going to.
What about Go Ninja, Ninja Rap?
I don't remember that one
From Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh, jeez. Now we're going to see Iron and Wine and Lord Huron.
Basically the same show, man. It's like,
oh, how dare you. No, I'm a huge Iron and Wine fan.
Yeah,
but the new Lord Huron CD is excellent. They sent us the CD just for getting tickets, so it's one of my wife's birthday presents.
Yeah, that's the sad part of music today, that they're just giving you, you know, you buy our tickets and we'll give you a, you know,
I know.
Nobody's buying these records anyway. Let's give them away.
It's like people that are selling books and putting free tickets in it. Jeez. Pathetic, desperate. Just, right?
Mm. I mean, who would do such a thing? Mm-hmm.
You don't have to buy the book. Just come into my classroom. I was giving away coffee for teachers last week. I may do that again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, you can, again, pick up the copy at robdurhamcomedy.com. He'll even autograph it for you.
I will.
Do you personalize them?
I do. You can kind of put a message in. I've had some people, hey, can you make this for my father? Or you can make this for... Some guy ordered it for his buddy's daughter. So, yeah.
And you have the official Rob Durham Facebook page. You can you can head over there and give Rob a like.
Yeah, I started my author page.
Yeah.
That didn't feel pretentious at all.
Well, I did see you are getting some activities. You shared a screenshot of you got a man from Russia.
Yeah,
messaged you.
Yeah, he emailed me on Instagram about don't wear shorts on stage.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Yeah, because I get some Amazon Europe sales over there. So I was like, who's actually buying that over there? And well, is it working?
Now you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. That was really neat to see.
But that's the fun thing about the internet, when you get those kind of moments where you can connect with somebody the other side of the world that and then they happen to like your stuff. So
yeah, somebody tried to order a book through me, autographed from Australia, and it was gonna be like $42 to me. I was like, dude, you're gonna have to go through Amazon. I'm not losing $30 on this transaction.
That's that's pretty expensive.
Yeah,
shipping.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a long way to go, man. My dad's wife's daughter lives over there in Australia, and I keep joking about coming over and crashing on her couch and just vacationing over there because it's so beautiful over there. I want to go visit sometime.
Yeah, I know Jimmy Pardo goes down there for the Men at Work convention every year. That's off of Jimmy's first album. You know, I was down under.
So Rob, like I said, Rob will sign him. Personalize them, and you can come have them sign it in person if you'd like at 6 North Cafe on Saturday.
From 11 to 1.
11 to 1. There you go, man.
Or at the Funny Bone, May 30th through June 3rd.
Yeah.
Cool.
And you got all four at the merch table that night?
Yes.
At the Funny Bone?
All four, yes.
There you go. Yeah. So you can come home with a... are there package deals if you buy?
Oh, yeah. I need to figure that out. But, yeah, there's when I just had three, it was all three for I gave like $5 off.
Okay. So.
Yep. Sometimes I do a charity event, jack up the price, then say, I'll give you, each sale will give you $5. That works. Yeah. We're raising money for the kids.
Yeah, man. It's all for a good cause.
Yeah, me.
All right, thanks, buddy. It's been a whole
thank
lot of fun
you.
Catching up.
Man. Yeah,
I appreciate you doing this, and I thank you for giving me another shot at this because when I was the first time we did this, I think it went well, but like I was still very new at this, and I feel like I feel much more confident now doing the show. I feel like. So I kind of almost, I feel like almost all people apology for putting up with me back then. Like the,
well, those three liquor bottles you cleared probably helped.
Yeah.
You got to clean these up. I mean, man. Right.
I feel way more relaxed now.
Yeah. Yeah.
but yeah, thanks, Rob. I appreciate all the support, man. And, it's always a good time hanging out.
Man, I know on behalf of all the comics and bands, we really appreciate all the plugs you give us. So thank you for that.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I'm having great time, and I'm glad all these guys have become buddies now. So
one of us will get big and famous, and you'll get to get it. It ain't gonna be me, but some of them will.
Yeah.
One day it will pay off.
I mean that'd be awesome. I always joke with my buddies and bands if they hit that, just let me drive the tour bus. You know.
Yeah.
Take me on the road. Let's go see the world.
Yeah.
So it also applies for comedy.
Speaking of bands, let me put one last Durham plug. My brother Dave Durham's band, Green Jeans. Check them out on Spotify or SoundCloud or both. I forget which one I use for that. Green Jeans, though. Yeah. Out of Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. And we learned the last time that was his legs on your cover, too. So
yes,
cover
those model. Are his legs. Yes.
Cover model. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can come.
And he did the... did the picture of the model on the pink book as well, which we are not mentioning the title of.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.